Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Scratching out a significant amount of this article.
Like literally as we started recording.
That's important stuff. There's like numbers and dates and weights and...
Yeah,
temperatures,
you know what?
And that's important stuff you just scratched out.
I feel like it's all covered in the body of the text of the article, though.
Well, I mean, that's one way to do an intro, as anybody in journalism can tell you. You can
take the red
write
pen.
The article and then go back and summarize it as an intro.
Yeah.
I've never been partial to that.
Yeah.
The intro to me is just like this stream of consciousness.
It is, yeah, now.
It tells you where the rest of the article is going to go because you don't know, man. Because it's all jazz, baby.
Yeah. Polar bears.
Polar bears.
Another...
Not the polar bear club. Although they may have clubs.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of the least studied mammal populations on the planet.
I mean, it's because it's cold. No one wants to go hang out and watch them.
Yeah, pretty much. And because it's also extremely dangerous to...
Yeah.
To study polar bears up close and personal.
Yeah, they look cuddly, but they will...
Especially Newt.
They will, yeah.
Remember Newt?
Yeah, I got a little bit about Newt.
Oh, okay.
Very sad.
But you're going to say they look cute and cuddly, but don't leave us hanging.
Well, you go up to hug one like you want to.
Right.
And you get your face eaten.
Oh, yeah. If you're lucky, that's all that happens
you
to
know?
You. I saw pictures of a guy who survived a polar bear attack.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He was messed up. Like, I guess it was still attached, but 3/4 of his scalp was now flip backable.
Mm.
Like, there's a hole clear through his Achilles tendon and his ankle.
Wow.
So, like, his Achilles tendon was intact, and the front of the top of his, the front of his ankle was intact, but in between the two, it was gone.
That could have been a claw poke or a fang.
Yeah, it could have been like flicking it with its thumb and, and middle finger.
Very strong. It's one of nature's cruelest things to make an animal so huggable.
And so deadly.
So, yeah. You know, if you hug a polar bear, it's bad news.
Yeah. It's like one of those black widows that marry and kill.
Right.
Well, that's just my interpretation of polar bears, you know.
You mean the Ursus maritimus?
Yeah, and maritimus is it's a legitimate thing to call it.
Because
technically a polar bear is a sea animal, a sea mammal.
Yeah.
Because they spend most of their time actually on the sea.
That's right. And in the sea sometimes,
mm-hmm.
as we'll find out.
Right.
Well, I guess we're knee-deep in this thing, huh?
Yeah, because you skipped the intro.
So the polar bear, what they think, and I enjoy our animal casts a lot.
Me too.
And they're some of my favorite ones. I just wanted to say that. Although the polar bear doesn't, despite its huggability, doesn't compete with the jellyfish or the octopus.
Sure.
But it's up there.
Sure it is.
Because you can hug a jellyfish.
You know, I think...
And an octopus. That's a great hug.
Yeah.
Eight times as
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they won't let go.
Or I guess 4 times as good.
Yeah.
All right, so the polar bear...
Two times as good. Because the polar bear has 4.
No, I meant as a human hug.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So Jerry even liked that one. So the polar bear evolved, as best as we know, a couple of 100,000 years ago from the brown bear.
Actually, I saw that the scientific consensus is between 5 million and 600,000 years.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Because I saw the 200,000 all over the place.
Did you really?
Yeah, but it might be one of those, you know, how the internet is.
Like, I think Science Magazine used the term scientific consensus.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I think that might be right.
They threw down the gauntlet?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say, let's go with the scientific consensus.
Then. Okay.
And not our own article on our own website.
Right.
But they did evolve from the brown bear, they think. And one of the ways that they back this up is by saying polar bear can go have sex with a brown bear and they can make a baby bear and that bear can actually have babies.
Yeah.
Which means everything jives.
Do you remember our, I think it was our evolution in isolation episode?
Ah, that was a good one.
Where we talked about speciation events.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about this, how the brown bear just kept ranging further and further north. And as their kind of habitat changed, they actually evolved into a different species, the polar bear, right?
Yeah, I remember that now.
But I remember a species or a speciation event taking place when the two groups could no longer reproduce. That was my memory of it. But I guess not, because I went back and double checked and it's like, oh, polar bears are different species, but it can reproduce with brown bears.
Huh.
And it does make sense because humans and Neanderthals or Neanderthals,
yeah,
if you're a pedant, could reproduce and have fertile offspring, and they're definitely two different species of humans.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Yeah, they were.
Well, you know, occasionally people get together and have a few drinks and science is created. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there are way more brown bears. Everyone knows, and we're going to talk a lot about this, that the polar bear, I'm not sure the official designation. I don't think it's officially listed. Well, it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
As the official listings is threatened or, you know, the like.
It depends on the country it's in.
Yeah, but they're not doing great. There's only about 25,000 polar bears. And their habitat is shrinking, literally, physically shrinking.
Yeah, that's the big problem, is that the melting of Arctic sea ice, as we'll see, is the Arctic sea ice is where they live.
Right.
They live on ice floating out in the Arctic Ocean.
Yes.
And they don't like to be on land. When they are on land, it's a problem for them.
Yeah.
So the decrease in Arctic sea ice that's going on because of climate change is affecting them tremendously.
Yeah, and affecting the rest of the ecosystem.
But yeah, definitely. Because say like if they get stranded on land, they start hunting on like for land mammals.
Right.
Which affects the ecosystem, and that now their competition that's not normally there for prey.
Exactly.
You know, there's all sorts of ripple effects that are coming out of it.
Yeah.
But one thing I did see is that the polar bears that are really, really far north are actually benefiting from the melting ice.
Oh, really?
Because it's easier for them to hunt now.
Oh, because there's just less area to cover?
It's the ice is thinner.
Oh.
So they can hunt more easily on it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it's a good thing you said north, because you're not going to find polar bears at the South Pole, where Santa lives.
And penguins.
No, wait, Santa lives at the North Pole.
North Pole, with the polar bears.
That's right. We've all seen the Coca-Cola commercials.
Yeah, but that has penguins in it.
Yeah.
And they're... penguins and polar bears would never meet.
Yeah, that's true.
Except maybe at a zoo.
Yeah, that is true. They had polar bears at the San Diego Zoo.
There's a polar bear in China, in a mall in China, that has a zoo, and it is one of the saddest things I've ever heard of. I signed a petition last night to free it.
Oh, really?
Its name is Pizza, and it is... it's the Pizza the polar bear.
Wow.
It's the saddest. I think its build is the saddest polar bear on the planet.
Oh, man.
It's so sad. Look into it, Chuck.
Outside the
petition. I guarantee you will.
And you know what? I bet we could get a lot of people to sign that petition.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if it matters.
Okay.
Do petitions matter? Do they make a difference?
It often I think feels... if they're accompanied with the right, like, press, like, media pressure.
Right.
Sure.
or like a mafia thug.
Right.
To deliver the papers.
I got a petition for you.
I highly recommend you read it. So polar bears do live only in the Northern Hemisphere. Those 25,000 are in 19 distinct populations, in just five countries, including the United States.
Yeah, that's funny because their habitat is at the top of the world, mm-hmm. where five countries basically come together.
Yeah. Alaska.
Yeah, that's the U.S. part. Canada, sure. Obviously. I think 2/3 of all polar bears actually live in Canada.
Yes.
Even
very
though
nice.
If you asked them that, they wouldn't be able to tell you. Russia is uh-huh. another big one. Norway?
Yep.
And Greenland?
That is correct. And it is tough living up there for humans, but not for polar bears. They love it. They are well adapted over the years.
Yeah, supposedly, if they run for any bit of time, they have to like stop and lay down.
Yeah.
Because they'll overheat and they will exhaust themselves.
Yeah, I identified a lot when I was reading this with the polar bear.
Right.
Like, I kind of like these guys.
They are incredibly well adapted, which is another reason why I think they don't think it's any less than 600,000 years that they evolved from brown bears.
Right.
Because
it takes a while.
It would take so long for these they're really different from brown bears. Like, brown bears are basically herbivores.
Uh-huh.
Polar bears are carnivores.
Yeah.
They eat seal blubber. Like, brown bears eat berries.
Right.
And the occasional human on accident, maybe.
Yeah.
But polar bears are like, give me some seals. I want them.
I bet they would eat some berries if someone offered them up for dessert, maybe.
Maybe.
But there are no berries.
Right.
You know?
But it would take a lot because they get kind of big and they need a lot of fat to ward off the cold.
Well, yeah, and they have a lot of it. They have two layers of fur and then a blubber, full blubber layer that's about 4.5 inches thick. Of just blubber.
Yeah, supposedly like 50% of their weight at any given time, or when they're fully developed or nourished,
yeah.
is blubber.
Well,
it's their own fat.
Since you mentioned the weight, we'll go ahead and throw some stats out.
Okay.
Adult males, 8 or 9 feet.
9 feet.
Yeah.
Apparently that's the biggest bear. The polar bear is the biggest of the bears.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Not the Berenstain bears?
Berenstain.
adult females, 6 to 8 feet, and the males weigh up to 1,300 pounds. 9 feet tall and 1,300 pounds.
Yeah, that's...
That's intimidating.
It is.
You've seen Lost?
I haven't. Yeah. This article mentioned it, though.
Of course, because it was probably written when these stats were accurate. the females can get up to about 700 pounds. Those claws I mentioned... about 2 inches, and they live about 20 years.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. That's really short.
20 years?
Sure.
Well, I didn't think that was too bad for a bear.
Oh, I thought it was very short.
What'd you think? What's a good bear span for you, lifespan?
Like 40 or 50 years.
Yeah?
That's what I want to see for a bear.
Yeah. Well, we all do. Yeah. Let's be honest.
20 years, this is like live fast, die young type age, you know?
So their paws, which we mentioned, the claws, they have these big, beautiful, fat, round paws that act like snowshoes. And they walk and they spread out when they walk on the ice and sort of distribute their weight. And in fact, when they're on thin ice, they even spread their arms out wider. It's very cute. Mm. And they have these little papillae on their bottom paws.
Right.
These little nubs, because ice is slippery. And the front paws are actually slightly webbed for swimming. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, like you said, it's a sea bear.
It is. The Maritimus. Ursa Maritimus. So let's talk about some of its like actual habits and the things it does after a break. You want to?
Yes. Hey, my friend, if you want a website these days, there are some frustrating ways to go about it, but one easy way is by using Squarespace.
Yeah, Squarespace doesn't require you to hang out with coders.
Ew.
No, all you have to do is figure out how to drag and drop using a mouse, and all of a sudden, you know how to build a website, thanks to Squarespace.
That's right. They have beautiful pre-made templates for you. They're going to look great. If you want to sell something, you want to hawk your wares, they have seamless commerce tools. They have great customer support, even though it's really easy to figure out on your own. If you can't work something out, they have 24/7 real human customer support, and every member of that team is an actual user.
Yeah, that's right. And right now, you can start a free trial today at squarespace.com and enter our offer code STUFF whenever you make your first purchase, and they'll give you 10% off. Plus, when you sign up for a year, Squarespace will give you a free custom domain name.
That's right. Just visit squarespace.com and enter our offer code STUFF. Squarespace. Set your website apart.
Chuck, you mentioned their fur, right?
Yeah.
So, you know their fur is translucent.
That's right.
They're not, it's not actually white.
We talked about that on
another
episode at some point.
Probably the Evolve in Isolation one.
Yeah, or maybe translucent, or by, or,
Oh, maybe.
Or,
The butterfly's wings one?
Yeah, yeah.
What is, I can't remember what it's called. Iridescence.
Iridescence.
That was a really interesting episode, too.
It was.
But yeah, their fur, is actually, it's translucent because it's hollow.
Uh-huh.
And it's hollow because it traps air, and then their body heat can warm the air.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, have you ever camped when it was cold?
Yes.
And all you need is one of those little thin blow-up mats because your body heat warms the air underneath it.
Thermarest.
Right.
That's a brand name, but sure.
Right. Okay. So it's the same thing, but this is their fur that's doing that.
Yeah.
And since it's hollow and translucent, it actually scatters all colors of light and creates this white appearance, like a quartz wood or something like that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So they're not actually white, coated in white fur. It's all an illusion.
Yeah. So if you saw a polar bear in New York City, it would be the color of street garbage.
Right, like a chameleon.
It's not true.
Street garbage color.
What
color is that?
Well, you know.
Grayish mustard?
Yeah, it's like a pizza box, and there'll be some recycling, mm-hmm. and then just New York apartment detritus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the colors of the rainbow. All right, so the fur is not all over their body. The parts of their body that don't have this thick insulation and this blubber, the tail and the muzzle and the ears have adapted to be small because it's not as insulated with that blubber.
Mm-hmm. So it requires less energy to heat.
Yeah.
And it has less surface to lose heat from, right?
That's right.
So yeah, these guys are like incredibly well adapted for their environment, which is really saying something because their environment is about as inhospitable to a mammal as you can imagine.
Yes.
They are routinely comfortable and apparently have no heat loss whatsoever at temperatures of like
negative 50 Fahrenheit.
Negative 50.
Yeah.
That's the temperature they're comfortable in. And they actually, they experience no change in body temperature at a temperature of negative 34 degrees Fahrenheit, which is negative 37 Celsius.
Amazing.
Yeah. They're just like, they're unaffected by it.
Yeah.
They're that well suited to the environment.
So we mentioned them walking. They can walk great distances up to 20 miles, 30 kilometers a day, for days and days in a row. And, they've been tracked swimming up to 60 miles, which is amazing.
Okay. One other thing.
Yeah.
I saw, a Canadian Geographic article, which is a thing.
Okay.
And this was a 2012 article, and they mentioned a recent study. So probably 2010, 2011, maybe 2012 study found polar bears swimming as a result of climate change, up to 687 kilometers.
Wow.
That's 426 miles.
That's to get from ice to ice?
Yes.
Man, that's sad.
426 miles. These things are just swimming. Like,
Well, and I don't think they're supposed to swim that far.
No, definitely not.
You know?
No, but they can. They'll do it.
That's amazing. And they're doing that to eat that sweet, sweet seal blubber.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, the sea ice is their habitat. This is where they live. It's where they sleep. It's where they hunt, most importantly.
Yeah. So they don't – another big difference with the brown bear is they don't hibernate like your average bear. you like that? Females sort of semi-hibernate when they're kind of pre and post-pregnancy, but it's not true hibernation in like the biological sense.
You want to talk about mating?
Oh. Sure.
Specifically polar bear mating?
Oh, yeah. I guess we should.
So, again, they are a fairly not closely studied mammal population, right? So scientists actually aren't entirely sure how females signal to males that they're ready to reproduce.
Right.
And the reason why is the females don't appear to actually go into any kind of heat. They have something called induced ovulation, right?
Yes.
Which is once they're mating, they start to ovulate.
Yeah, it actually, the intercourse is what causes the ovulation.
Right. And not always. Sometimes it takes several times.
Yeah, you got to be good.
You got to know what you're doing, right? And once they actually do,
mate.
I guess, sure.
Yeah.
Once the egg is fertilized.
Yes.
The embryo doesn't actually start developing right away either.
Yeah, that's super interesting. It's an 8-month gestation, but the first 4 months.
It's just sitting there.
Yeah, the fetus is just like waiting, while the mom eats and eats and eats.
Yeah.
And prepares for that long period, as we'll see, where, you know, she has her little cub and,
cubs.
Yeah, a couple
usually,
at a time.
Usually twins. Isn't that cute?
You've seen polar bear cubs, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty adorable.
Twins, Chuck.
They're born blind, without teeth. They probably make cute little noises. They're not insulated, so they need mom. Like, if polar bear mom dies right away, polar bear cubs will not survive.
Oh, yeah, they're toast.
Zero chance.
Yeah, like you said, they're born blind and without teeth. They have really thin fur, no insulation. They weigh about a pound and are a foot long,
ugh,
which is really tiny for a bear that's going to grow into 1,300 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the mom makes a den when she's carrying her embryos and starts to fatten up. She goes and makes a little winter den, sometimes a snow den. Which, by the way, you should see that movie, Snowden. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The documentary or the movie?
Well, both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she'll make a little snow cave, snow den, that kind of thing. Or use an actual cave. But for the most part, she's usually just digging out a little space for herself.
Sure.
And then she'll give birth and then nurse the cubs for at least their first 20 months.
Yeah, they have to hang out with mama for a while and drink that milk.
Yeah, I think maybe a couple years, maybe up to 4 years, they spend with mom, like learning to hunt and all that kind of stuff. But she doesn't leave the snow den for like the first several months.
Yeah, dad splits after a week.
Right.
He's like, my work here is done. I might even go get someone else pregnant.
Right.
They're not monogamous. The females, they're lady bears.
Right.
They mate successfully usually between the age of 6 and 8 years old, and they only, for a mammal, don't reproduce a lot, which is one of the reasons there's only 25,000 of them. They only have about 5 litters over their lifespan, whereas some mammals, you know, I mean, they just have litter upon litter every year.
Right.
Of multiple little cubs.
Yeah, which is another reason why, you know, a loss of the polar bear population is
sure.
So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
They don't replace, their replacement rate is kind of low.
That's right. And there could be, you know, a battle over mating with a female because, it's, you know, it's sparse out there. It's not the most happening scene for picking up,
it's not a fern bar.
No, it's not a fern bar. So if that happens, they will fight. They won't kill each other.
I thought that was kind
of
neat.
Yeah, of course, the human in me is like, they know that they're dwindling, so they won't kill each other.
Right.
Of course, it's not true at all.
That's funny, because the human in me was like, they're like, it's really tough out here, so we all got to stick together.
Yeah, you'd like to think that. But what they do is they will lower their head, but pin their ears back and roar. It's kind of a lot of posturing. But there could be like an injury that occurs fighting over who to mate with.
Right, but not to the death.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens occasionally. There's probably a jerk bear every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, this feels threatened.
Todd.
Yeah, he's all on steroids. But when a death will happen is if anyone messes with those cubs, because mama bear
sure.
will take you down.
Yeah.
like without thinking twice.
Right.
It's very sweet.
So the little bears have been brought up by their mom, the twins, Chuck and Buck. They have been brought up by their mom and raised to hunt, and now they know what they're doing. So if you could drop in on either one of those guys, and actually I was really surprised to hear this. The males will like hang out with one another.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily territorial.
Yeah, they'll even share a meal occasionally
yes.
if they have enough.
Again, that's because they're like, it's tough out here, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
They're like, brother, can you spare a dime?
I've had my 100 pounds of blubber today.
Right.
Which is literally how much they can eat.
Right. So when they hunt, they prefer ice, like a bit of ice, sea ice that
sure.
they can sit on. And actually what they'll do is they look for holes in the ice. The main prey of the polar bear is the ringed seal.
Yeah.
It's their favorite. They'll eat other stuff. They'll eat just about anything. A whale carcass, a live beluga whale that they
yeah.
can catch, walruses, whatever. But they really go nuts for ringed seals.
Yeah.
Okay. So, ringed seals have a thing where whenever it's, the ice is thin enough for them to dig through. And by thin enough, we're talking like 6 feet.
Yeah.
Right. The seal has these, basically appendages on its flippers that are sharp.
Yeah.
And they use it to carve holes through the sea ice.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the seal's breathing holes. And they make about 10 to 15 of them every season. And then they'll keep them like open throughout the season. They maintain them.
Yeah.
So they're hunting down there. They're eating their own stuff. They need to come up for air sometimes. Well, polar bears stake these things out. Because they know that a seal has to come up for air every like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's sad in a way, but it's also,
it's
sad
pretty,
for the seal.
It is.
But it's necessary.
And it's pretty sharp too. But it's an amazing waiting game that requires tons
yeah.
of patience.
Like you can watch videos on YouTube of a bear, and this is like a 1,000 pound bear. Like very gingerly, because
mm-hmm.
you know the seal can see what's going on or feel it,
right?
And they very quietly walk up to these holes
mm-hmm.
and just wait, like a cat almost.
Hours,
yeah,
days,
just waiting and smelling. They can smell like 20 miles,
right?
So you can bet they can smell down into that hole.
Sure.
And then there's one that slow mo video of this bear, like leaping up in the air, and the hole, basically everything but his butt and his hind legs goes down into that water,
right?
Grabs that seal with those claws.
And the seal goes, yee!
Yeah. He's like, curse these breathing holes that I need.
Yeah. Why couldn't I have had gills?
Yeah. And the bear eats well, like I said, about 100 pounds in a meal.
And it's also horrific.
Yeah.
Because they're white and the blood from the seal really stands out against
yeah,
them.
Yeah. And on the ice and snow, it's like it does. It looks like a horror movie.
But bears have actually evolved to clean up very, like, immediately after eating. So they'll eat and eat and eat. Like you said, they'll eat like 100 pounds of blubber at a time. And when the hunting's good, they'll
yeah.
just eat the seal's blubber.
Sure.
Right? And actually what's interesting is the omega-3s in that seal blubber actually cut down on the type of cholesterol that would allow plaque to build up in their arteries.
Oh, wow.
So they can subsist basically on a diet of
fat.
Seal blubber.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing.
And right after they finish this meal, they're covered in blood, and it's really, again, horrific. They'll take a bath. Depending on the time of year, they'll take a bath in the sea itself,
uh-huh.
or they'll take a snow bath, and then they'll take a little nap.
Well, because they need that, like you said, they need that fur to remain translucent and clean in order to stay warm
right.
and dry. So, yeah, they clean up to keep themselves warm, not just because they look like something out of a Wes Craven movie.
Right. But also because they have to remain camouflaged, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, before we take a break, I do want to mention the very funny thing. If a polar bear does not get that seal in the hole,
uh-huh.
they can throw a little hissy fit.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been known to, like, pound the ice in frustration. And I don't think, like, people are, you know, putting their stuff on the bear. Like, they literally, like, when they miss the seal, start throwing things around and beating on the ice because
right.
they're angry.
Like, imagine waiting at an air hole for
yeah.
2 days.
Yeah.
The seal finally comes up and you miss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I can. I don't think it's anthropomorphizing either.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll talk a little bit about their dwindling ice in numbers after this. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Learning stuff with Joshua and Charles. Stuff you should know.
All right, we're back. One thing we did not mention that I think is obvious, but we might as well say it, is the polar bear is nothing hunts the polar bear.
Right.
They're the king daddies and mamas of their land.
The apex predator.
Yeah, which is a pretty good place to be. The bad place to be, if you're a polar bear, is where you live and hunt, because like we said, it's shrinking, and it creates a lot of problems. We mentioned a little bit about the ecosystem. You know, they'll go in there and they'll eat birds and eggs and things like that when they have to. Caribou, maybe.
On the shoreline?
Yeah, but they're not supposed to be eating that stuff.
Right.
And they're not supposed to be encountering humans as often as they are either, which is a problem in some parts of the world.
But yeah, well, there's actually a town in Manitoba called Churchill that's developed basically it's made itself a tourist destination for polar bear tourism.
Uh-huh.
But it's like one of the few places in the world that's like an established settlement where Westerners can come and
view them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even in Churchill, they occasionally have to like shoot the polar bears if they just won't leave.
Yeah.
And apparently, little PSA here, if you ever encounter a polar bear, do not lay down and play dead. That's not what you want to do.
Yeah, is it like regular bears? You try to make yourself look big?
Look big, make a lot of noise, chase them off. Apparently, they'll break out. There's another town in, I think, Norway that they'll like rev their snowmobiles. They'll get the town helicopter out and try to scare them off like that.
Yeah, that's the one, Svalbard, which has 2,300 people and 3,000 polar bears.
Yeah.
So they've probably gotten pretty used to fending for themselves.
Yeah, they have. For the most part, the bears will leave because from everything I saw, the polar bear in particular isn't interested in encountering humans. It's not their thing.
No, it's like almost any wildlife. They're forced into that situation.
Yeah, if you look at bear attacks, though, like a grizzly bear will attack you while you're just sleeping quietly in a sleeping bag near in anywhere near it, and it comes into your camp, it'll maul you. You're dead. The polar bear list of polar bear attacks do not include stuff like that. It's a polar bear that you've startled, or you're very hungry, or it's very hungry, and you happen to have meat in your pockets.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, in Churchill, Manitoba, their stats, they have had 2 people killed in 300 years by polar bears.
Yeah, which that's a pretty good track record for one of 2 towns where...
Not bad.
Yeah.
One of them was because these kids saw a bear and started throwing rocks at it.
Not a good idea.
So the bear was like, all right, jerks, here I come. And then the second one, a dude had meat in his pockets.
You know?
Yeah.
He was eating at a diner. He wanted a to-go box.
Got his meatloaf.
They're like, just put that meatloaf in your pocket. And he's like, I guess I will this one time. And the one time. But actually, if you do look at the polar bear stats, right?
For attacks.
Fatal attacks by polar bears in the United States and Canada. And remember, 60% of all polar bears live in Canada.
Yeah.
So this is a substantial amount of the polar bears. There have been 8 fatal attacks in the United States and Canada by polar bears since 1972. 4 of those took place in zoos where humans climbed into the enclosure with the polar bear.
I saw this one lady that wanted to swim with them.
Yeah.
And she jumped in and got bitten on like the arm and back and was like screaming and they fished her out.
Oh, she survived?
She survived.
What a bad idea.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a thing. There's a dude in Toledo before I was born who was found in the polar bear enclosure at the Toledo Zoo. And they think he was probably on drugs. And I'm sure he was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to go hang out with that polar bear.
Yeah.
But think of it. 8 people died in the U.S. and Canada since 1972. Half of them at the zoo.
Yeah.
Only 4 in the wild.
Yeah. So that's the real stat.
It does say a lot.
It does. And, you know, we said make yourself look big. If you don't know what that means the big trick is to, you probably got on a winter coat if you're living in one of these places. So just grab the bottom of your winter coat and pull it up over your head, with your arms. And basically, yeah, you just appear like large. And that's one of the big survival tips for any bear, really. Just makes you look bigger and scarier.
Right.
Because bears are, you know, actually polar bears are pretty smart. Supposedly.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was about to say they were dumb, but they're one of the smarter mammals.
How so? Where did you see that?
I was just on a polar bear site, you know, and they were just literally ticking off all the, like, cognitive abilities. But I think they're supposed to be much smarter than, like, your average brown bear.
Yeah?
Yogi bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yogi's pretty smart. He can talk, wears a tie. I think he's driven a car before.
He can get inside a picnic basket.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that when I was a kid. Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah.
Yogi Bear?
I liked Yogi Bear from, like, the original series all the way through the weird stuff in, like, the 70s.
I don't remember the weird stuff.
Like the Laugh Olympics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
All that.
Spinoffs and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chuck, we've talked about it indirectly a couple of times, but the polar bear's habitat is shrinking tremendously, right?
Yes.
The ice is literally melting. And like I was saying in that one Canadian Geographic article, they were saying the bears in the South are really having trouble. And there are far more human bear encounters than there normally are.
Yeah.
Because if a bear makes his way to shore and summer strikes and the ice recedes,
they're stuck.
He's stuck.
Yeah.
They have to wait around until winter comes again or late fall and the ice starts to come back toward shore so they can swim toward it.
Yeah, or swim 400 miles.
Right, exactly. So that's creating a problem, especially for the ones that are in the southern range. But the ones that are in the northern range are enjoying, like, easier hunting than ever.
Yeah.
Because the ice is thinning out for them so the seals can get through it more easily. So there's more seals, so there's more hunting.
Right.
Up north. The thing is that's not necessarily sustainable. Like, they may be enjoying, like, a heyday right now, but eventually that ice will melt too, and, well, they'll be goners.
Interesting.
Because a bear can overheat from running.
Yeah.
Right? So as the temperatures increase, the bear's actual physical health is in danger, let alone their, you know, habitat shrinking.
Yeah.
So they're not entirely certain what to do.
I looked up hunting polar bears, and I think the Inuit people are allowed to.
No.
Well, you can get, there are certain places in Canada where you can get an exemption, but it's apparently very rare and controlled.
And very expensive.
Well, and expensive and supposedly they say is well within the bounds of not harming the overall population number.
Well, again, I'm sorry to keep going back to this well, but that Canadian Geographic article, I should probably say the name. I think it's called like The Truth About Polar Bears.
Yeah.
Totally worth reading. But it talks a lot about managed hunting programs.
Being a good thing or bad?
They were saying it's as long as it's done right, basically everybody involved. I think they even cited the World Wildlife Fund as saying like, yeah, we should probably like manage these populations through hunting with very strict quotas. But yeah, the Inuits traditionally, or the Inuit and I think the Cree are two groups that have like virtually unrestricted hunting.
Yeah, like native rights.
But they're apparently trusted to, you know, stay within these limits.
Yeah, and the people that can pay to do it, I think, have to be taken in by Inuit guides.
Yeah.
And they actually, the Inuit families are who keeps the bear meat.
Right.
After the rich American.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Kills the bear.
Which is, that's great. Who cares about the meat? I just want to kill the bear.
Yeah, I just want the head on my wall.
I founded Jimmy John's. Isn't that the guy?
Yeah, he's a big game hunter.
Who else? Who's the other guy? The dentist that killed Leo the lion?
Yeah.
I wonder what ever happened to him.
I bet his dentist practice suffered.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Oh, it definitely did, but I wonder if it rebounded since the internet got bored and moved on to something else.
Yeah, probably so. I'm not into any hunting for myself. But I certainly hate big game hunting for anyone.
You know, I would like to put a call out. Like, anytime I've had discussions about hunting or whatever, and I've said I don't see the point in our modern world of hunting. It's always been countered with, well, you know, hunting's a lot more humane than the factory farming that you're eating the meat from.
Yeah.
And I've never. That's always struck me as a straw man argument, but yeah. I've never been able to exactly identify why.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not, and that's why I've never been able to identify why, but it's always confounded me.
Yeah, I know that people talk about the populations and controlled hunting and all that being good for the population,
right.
Which I'm sure that's very valid. I'm just talking about me personally, like when push came to shove. I like hanging out in the woods. I like camping. Mm-hmm. I like shooting guns every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
At targets, sure. Mm-hmm. Shoot up some tin cans. It's fun.
Sure.
But when push came to shove, I could never like pull the trigger and kill an animal. I shot a squirrel when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it was just like the worst day of my life.
Yeah.
I think I've told that story. It was awful.
I've got one or two of those under my belt.
Yeah. And you either get into it or you don't, I guess. And all of my friends hunted growing up, you know, in Georgia.
Sure.
At my church, like every single one of them. But my dad didn't hunt, so I didn't hunt.
Yeah.
And he didn't take a stand. He was into camping and hiking and not shooting animals.
Leaving nothing but footprints.
Yeah.
Taking nothing but photographs.
Yeah. It's not take only pictures and polar bear heads. Leave only footprints.
Leave only blood in the snow. And leave the polar bear meat behind for the Inuit.
So, Newt?
Newt.
You got anything else?
Nope.
Let's finish up with Newt. Everyone remembers Newt. Cutest polar bear ever. In Germany. And Newt died very sadly, had a seizure and fell into a pool. And they think that he probably drowned once he fell in.
Right. I think he had meningitis.
Well, no, they finally found out what it is. They couldn't find any kind of pathogen. And so, this doctor, Harold Preuss, for the German Center of Neurodegenerative Disease got together with, Professor Alex Greenwood at the Leibniz Institute for Zoo and Wildlife Research. And they said that he had an autoimmune disease, they found out, because nothing made sense about the seizure. So they really wanted to investigate, not only for Newt's sake, but to, you know, see if they could help other animals.
Right.
And it turns out that Newt is the very first animal domesticated wild ever diagnosed with an anti-NMDA receptor encephalitis.
Oh, that's what it was, encephalitis, not meningitis.
Yeah, which is a non-infectious form of encephalitis, which basically is when you're body's own immune system attacks your brain.
Wow.
It's the very first animal ever recorded to have this. So
poor Newt.
Well, poor Newt, but a big breakthrough to learn this.
That it can happen?
Yeah. Because now they can, you know, study it, and Newt was the reason that they can make this progress. So maybe something good can come from that.
Yeah.
Very sad, though.
Sure.
Have a seizure and fall in the water and drown?
Yeah.
Oof.
Got anything else?
Got nothing else.
I do have one other thing. The Inuit, speaking of the Inuit, they have obviously a number of legends about polar bears.
Sure.
One of them is that they're actually shapeshifters.
Ooh.
Human shapeshifters. Once they get in their igloos, they shed their polar bear skin and turn back into humans.
I like that.
The other is that when an Inuit kills a polar bear, they will put out like an offering of tools.
Uh-huh.
Again, with the idea that the polar bears have some sort of they share an afterlife with humans, possibly as humans.
Uh-huh.
And that they need these tools in the afterlife. And the better the spread of tools you give the polar bear, the more likely this polar bear is to tell other living polar bears, hey, you should let this guy kill you because he's going to hook you up with some amazing tools afterward.
Nice.
So go ahead and let him take your life.
Very spiritual.
It's pretty cool. They call him Nanook.
Yes. N-A-N-U-K.
Yeah.
Not O-O-K.
If you want to know more about Nanook, you can type the word polar bears into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said Nanook, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this a letter from a young fan.
Oh, okay, good.
We like those, right?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, guys, I'm a 14-year-old fan. Actually, my 15th birthday is tomorrow, which is now in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already 15. I wanted to get it out before then. I've been listening since last July. And I've recently been listening to the older podcast from the beginning. I'm about 3 years in at this point. I've never written in before because I had no real reason to. I have recently started my freshman year at a new school, and it's been hard for me because I was homeschooled before this, and I could listen to you guys whenever I wanted to, but now I'm at a charter school, and I miss having you in my ear all the time.
Hmm.
And then he sends, his name is Elias, and he sends a couple of PSs. If Jerry were to speak at a normal volume,
mm-hmm.
would your microphones pick her up?
No.
I don't think so, Jerry. Would they? No, she shakes her head now. These are directional mics?
These are omnipresental mics.
Well, that means they should pick up Jerry.
Right, but they're not that good.
Oh, okay. No, Elias, these microphones are generally for when we put our mouths right upon them, and they're not meant to hear other things in the room.
Right, that's what they're made for.
Yeah, because Jerry's, she yells at us through most of the show.
Yeah.
No one ever hears it.
There's a lot of, like, shaking and twitching that we do.
And then to PPS, which is correct, recently came across how squatters work. You gave an example of renters who moved out, but it invited a house guest who refused to move out, which classified as a squatter. I was wondering if you could rent for a month, stop paying, and refuse to move out, and invoke squatters' rights, would that work? I'm not planning on trying it, but it invoked my curiosity. Elias, I don't think that would work because it takes many, many years to finally gain, you know. I mean, you might be able to stay there for a little while, but I don't think you would be able to stay there for the years it would take to gain, I guess, ownership of the property.
Oh, is that, that's what he's asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You'd be able to stay there throughout the legal process, but like I think it's like 13 years that you have to stay somewhere.
Well, it depends
before
on the
you
state.
Can. Okay.
Yeah, it's
but it's years,
everywhere.
Right?
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Sure.
And I would imagine at some point a landlord would eventually bring in Vinny and Jimmy.
Vinny and Toots.
Yeah, Vinny and Toots to make sure you leave.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
The key here, Elias, is to go find yourself an abandoned house that clearly no one wants. Move in there, spruce the place up, and start paying taxes on it.
Don't do that.
But all I'm right. just saying.
Sure.
Advice to 15-year-old listeners.
Thank you, Elias.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Elias. That was a good one. If you have a question then you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.